We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
Welcome in to a little live makeshift Threema Big 12 Champions edition of Threema. We are hunkered down in a hotel ballroom that just hosted a wedding earlier today. So there is appropriately like a bunch of, I think they're like flower petals, but it looks kind of like confetti all over the floor here. But I think really they're just helping celebrate the cats. You know, I mean, it's just some of that confetti that was down there.
That's what it looks like, man. Looks like confetti. Hey, Robbie, how you doing, man? Appreciate you joining in.
Well, we're excited, also a little bit drained, I think, at this point, because that was an emotional roller coaster of a game. Absolutely insane. K-State out of the gate looked like it was going to be a long day, came all the way back, completely grabbed control of that game, coughed it up, muffed a punt. I mean, there were multiple instances where it felt like K-State had total control of that game, gave it all the way up, and then felt like it was done, and they find a way to get the incredible goal line stop. With bodies falling everywhere, like injuries all over the place again, because it would not be K-State TCU without all of that. And yet this team found a way, man. And Ty Zentner winds up blasting through the game-winning field goal there. Love the call from Chris Fowler that we just heard. I mean, just not enough good things to say about everything that happened today. That is one of the better moments that I could remember in my life in a long time, to be there to experience that game, which was a phenomenal atmosphere, the highest attended Big 12 championship game since 2018 with almost 70,000 people. I don't know that today, quite frankly, could have gone much better, because if you care about the Big 12, I think the game being that close is going to get TCU also into the playoffs. So just all the way around, man, I'm going to start with a general statement. Like there is not much more I can say about how incredible all that.
It was probably the best K-State football game that I've ever attended in my life. I mean, I can't think of a bigger moment on a bigger stage with everything at stake and the way that game ended that's occurred in my lifetime that I've attended. And so it was a special moment for sure for us to take in. And it just once again shows how resilient this football team is, because every time they get knocked down this season, every time they've lost, they always bounce back with some sort of major win, dominant win. And in this game, it had felt like it had slipped through their fingers. I mean, you and I were sitting together and kind of feeling checked out in overtime. Right?
I did check out in overtime. I mean, I literally sat there. I told Colt, the only way we're winning this thing is scoring a touchdown and going for two, which I think Kleiman said in the postgame presser he was going to do. But I'm going to casually watch them score and then hope to God that we go for two and get the 2-point conversion.
I was emotionally broken in that overtime. The momentum had completely swung in TCU's favor. You could feel the energy completely shift in that stadium. And even when Max Duggan was marked down with just inches to go, they still had two downs to get in. And I'm sitting there thinking, all right, I saw this in Fort Worth when they had third yeah. down and goal, and they easily punched it in. When they have a power back like Kendre Miller and then a running quarterback like Max Duggan, I'm thinking they're going to sneak this in. And K-State somehow, back-to-back plays, stuffs TCU. And stuffs probably the hardest running back to bring down outside of Bijan Robinson in the Big 12 in terms of pure physicality. Kendre Miller can't get 5 inches, 6 inches on back-to-back plays and actually loses maybe a half yard, a yard on that fourth down play with K-State with a redshirt freshman in at nose tackle and Damian
Eulalio, man. I didn't even realize that until well after the game, like about an hour ago. Damian Eulalio, Manhattan High kid, who was a stud at MHS. Great, great, great player. And I'd been hearing, like, was going to be a legitimate contributor at K-State, which did not shock me. He was on a different level playing in the Centennial League for Manhattan High. And he has to go in, yeah, because Uso got hurt there. And I know Duggan was, like, complaining at first, like, as if it were a fake injury or something. But clearly that was legit. And you have to go Damian Eulalio. He makes the play. I mean, there are just so many instances of that. K-State played freaking Keenan Garber at corner for a good chunk of this game after Echo Boydo got hurt, which was in like the second quarter. They have to go Keenan Garber, who just less than a month ago transitioned from receiver to defensive back. Everybody in our section, shout out to the guys that were sitting next to us who were super well informed, and they're looking at us like, who's 35? And I was like, I don't know who 35 is. And then someone in our group chat's like, that's Garber. I was like, that's right. I remember them saying Keenan Garber had moved to corner, but for all the concern we had about injuries, man, I mean, they're already down two safeties. Then you're down Echo Boydo. You're having to play Garber out there. RJ Garcia has a 25-yard touchdown catch that was only his sixth catch of the season. I mean, it was just next man up all the way across the board. Malik Knowles went out of the game after he had a play that basically was the touchdown drive. I mean, he sets up the touchdown. And it's, you just felt like you lost all the explosiveness to the offense. This team just finds ways, and it's unbelievable. It speaks to the program depth. It speaks to the belief that everybody has and the culture that they have, a lot of things. But that is one of the most astounding things to me to come out of this game, is that it was by no means like perfect or pretty or everybody healthy at all, but they just had guys stepping up and making plays.
And Wallace comment and talk about the defensive depth. Well, you know, you always hear about Kansas State as you get later in the season. It's not so much the first string, right? But as you get more and more guys banged up, Kansas State doesn't have that quality too deep in the recruiting nature of this program to have that too deep. But it is shown that they have developed that quality of depth, because it really was next man up in this game. Every time a guy came down, somebody else came on the field and made a play. I mean, there were various points in the game where K-State had three true freshmen playing on the defensive side of the football, and B.J. Payne, Jake Clifton, and Jacob Parrish, which, by the way, Jacob Parrish has such a bright future. His yeah. star is shining so brightly. He was tremendous out there today, and he's really been good all year. You know, you haven't heard us talk about Jacob Parrish much, and that's a good thing, because as a true freshman out of Olathe, he has done nothing to make you question him as a cornerback. He is going to be a star at the cornerback position for K-State. And then Keenan Garber, for I think this is his first snaps at corner that he's had in the game.
I sure as hell hadn't seen him there. Yeah.
And for him to go in the game, and TCU tried to attack him on, I think, the third play he was in, and the guy was somewhat open. They overthrew him, but there was drop coverage. A safety was back behind as well in a cover two setup. Keenan Garber, I didn't say his name today with any like concerns of blown coverages. Again, that's a guy that just transitioned from wide receiver. He's a guy that, you know, we were like, is he going to transfer out of the program? Because it clearly wasn't going to work out at receiver. He was a talented kid, and Chris Kleiman's first recruiting class thought he was going to be a dynamic weapon on the offensive side of the football. And then here in his fourth year in the program, they find a spot that works for him. And he goes out there in the biggest game of K-State's season, the biggest game of Chris Kleiman's coaching career at Kansas State, and has a heck of a game for K-State. It's just, you know, all the guys that got hurt in this game, for other guys, RJ Garcia on the offside side of the ball, will hit on him too. When Malik Knowles is out, everybody stepped up. Katori Leviston goes out of the game. Dawson Delforge steps in at left guard. Cooper Beebe goes over to left tackle. Now Leviston gets back in the game.
Was it Delforge who came in?
Delforge came in.
Why did they not use Langang there?
I don't know. I was a little bit surprised that Langang didn't come in. But, yeah, they went with Delforge at left guard, slid Beebe out to tackle. Now Leviston came back in a series later, but yeah, it just gets back to the depth of the program that they developed and how everybody is ready to play. You know, Will Howard, when Adrian got hurt earlier, mm-hmm. he was ready to step right in. I mean, these guys prepare like a championship football team. And You know, you're seeing the stat line here on our YouTube channel. Will Howard, 18 of 32, 199 yards, 6.2 yards per pass, 2 TDs and 0 interceptions. Maybe Will's actually his worst game, would you say? And that's not a, that's not saying he played poorly. He did make some questionable throws that maybe could have possibly been picked off that K-State was a little bit fortunate on. But
yeah,
that's a high-profile game, and he still stepped up and made some big-time throws.
Well, and he also, I mean, that's the thing that you get with Will. Like, he's just willing to make those throws, and it's the reason that you get the RJ Garcia touchdown, too, is the fact that he is putting it up at times where there was one in particular where the TCU DB got his hands on the ball and felt like that really should have been a pick. But he just keeps grinding, and he's fearless. I mean, we know that. He's definitely fearless. And just keeps finding a way. So, yeah, I'm with you. It was not like an overwhelming Will Howard performance. But still, if like that is going to be the step back, then that's great. And especially when you're doing it, again, shorthanded without Malik Knowles for a lot of the game.
Oh, when I say Will Howard's worst game, you have to remember that we're talking about a kid that would have been ranked 5th in the country in court passer rating and top 10 in yards per pass attempt in his first five games.
As a starter this year.
So what I'm saying is worst game, all right, he didn't put together – a top 10 performance nationally this weekend, but he was still good enough to get the job done, poised. I thought maybe a little uptight early in the game, but I thought he really settled in. And yeah, again, there were a couple throws that were iffy, but TCU didn't make a play on him. And TCU had plenty of breaks in this game too.
Oh, so, I mean, yeah, you know, that's why it's a little funny. You're seeing a little bit of saltiness out there about the Duggan play on TCU's overtime possession where he gets marked down, you know, inches short of the goal line, which I think looking at the replay, to me, it seems right fine call that he was short. But even if you want to dispute that, I mean, there were lots of breaks going TCU's way. At the top of the list is the safety, which, like, I do not understand that. It looks very clearly like the ball is knocked backwards before his arm is even moving forward. Like, I don't. It seemed like TV agreed from what Twitter was telling me. Like, yeah, everybody seemed on the same page as that, and yet that gets overturned somehow. That's 2 points right there. I mean, there's
– I guess I got to read the rule book to understand that play a little bit better because I don't get it. Oh, man, to me, that was a fumble, but that was unfortunately overturned. Obviously, the Phillip Brooks muff punt when momentum really swung. Look, I think you and me probably thought that we're making the drive home to Kansas City tomorrow, just thinking about the opportunities that slipped away from Kansas State when they could have really taken control of the game. The one that comes to mind, obviously, is the Phillip Brooks muff punt when K-State, you know, had scored a touchdown to start the second half and then got a three and out after a Felix sack, and they were going to have a chance to get up 28-10 in the third quarter with all the momentum in the world, and that muff punt sucked the air out of the K-State sideline, out of the K-State fans. And the energy, you could just feel it in the stadium on TCU side. They go down and score quickly with a short field, and then it's 21-17. But what does K-State do? They eventually answer. Deuce Vaughn has the touchdown run for 44 yards, which, by the way, guys, and John, I was mentioning this to you in the hotel room, he didn't have a run over 10 yards in this game except for that 44-yard run. His longest run on the day was 9 yards. 9-yard run until that 44-yarder. And, you know, I said to you right before that play, and some folks around felt like that was going to be – he's going to bust one. He always busts one.
Yeah.
And he couldn't have busted one at a bigger time.
Well, it was great to see him get back in open space and make someone look silly, because you think back to just the week before against Kansas, the first drive of the game, the third offensive play of the game for K-State, they get him set up like in a very similar spot one-on-one, can't make the guy miss, and he gets planted and doesn't even pick up the first down. So this was – this was a complete 180 of that, where he looked back to his normal self. It was like the Baylor game. You know, he had a really similar one against Baylor where he just put a dude on skates. So that was great. And at that point, I thought K-State had the game wrapped up there. Nice little note about K-State having 3 top 10 wins this year, which would be Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and now TCU. So at least, you know, one that's going to stick now here, one that's going to stick. So very, very appreciative of the fact that you point that out for us.
Thank and thank you for the comment, Kevin. Really, we have a lot of fun with Brody and taking him to the game, and it's a blast and quite the birthday present for him today. I think he's going to enjoy his birthday tomorrow as K-State got that trophy. And just a heck of a day, man. And yeah, K-State now 3 Big 12 championships since the league formed in 1996. We were running through all of the different teams and where that stacked up.
Did we get like a definitive answer on that?
Yeah, Oklahoma is leads, and they far and away lead Big 12 championships.
About 100 of them. Yeah.
And then Kansas State is tied for second with 3 with Baylor and Texas. Baylor's have all occurred recently, 2013, 14, and 2021. Texas 96 was they won the very first year, the inaugural Big 12 championship. But really, if you want to go to 2003, like if you want to go to the 21st century and look at it, K-State has 3 Big 12 titles, and it's only Baylor and Oklahoma that are right there with K-State, Oklahoma ahead, and K-State tied with Baylor. Texas would be with 2. So let's look at the 21st century, because Texas really hasn't been all that relevant, in quite some time anyway. So it's a monumental win for this program. 3 top 10 wins now. That's a huge shot. And it's really it's that win on the resume. Like, I know they had 2 other top 10 wins, but Oklahoma and Oklahoma State ended up being 6-6 and 7-5. And now you get that resume type win that really cements this season with a win over an undefeated and top 4, number 3 ranked TCU that will really stick out. And K-State will probably, if you're listening to this tomorrow on Sunday, probably jumped around 7 or 6 in the playoff poll. Or they, if you heard our Friday night pregame show, maybe K-State's in the playoff. I don't know. I mean, Tulane won. Tulane 11-2.
Yeah, shout out Tulane.
That strength of schedule is soaring on up, folks.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shout out to Tulane. I mean, by far the worst loss on K-State's schedule is Texas. Tulane's going to wind up in the Cotton Bowl and ranked like 15th in the playoff poll, the final playoff poll, which is wild. I agree. Burke, K-State, and Utah are definitely going to jump some teams. Very similar schools in similar spots winning the game there. And, I mean, look, it just felt like – I felt like going into the game there was some element of like – destiny-ish with this K-State team where I was like, man, they're too good with Will Howard at quarterback to not go out there and finish this thing off and win this game. But the way that game played out, it was completely to the script of the national narrative and TCU and having all these comebacks and their crazy late game heroics and doing that whole thing again and Duggan, you know, I mean, it felt like he had his Heisman moment too, like the 50-yard run that got him really close to the game tying touchdown. It felt like all that was like setting up for a crescendo of more TCU BS where they're just pulling one out of the fire at the end of the game. And this team was able to withstand that. I mean, that's the crazy part about this team and the culture and the makeup of what you have in the locker room is to be able to withstand like a moment like that, all the momentum, all the stuff, you know, to the point where, again, we're checking out. I was real involved, like yelling and stuff on defense. Mm-hmm. And then in overtime, I was just like hands on knees. I just kind of stopped and gave up. But they certainly didn't. And, you know, with like a third string nose tackle in the game at that point in time, they found a way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, John, I'll give him credit. John was more positive than me at different points in the game. He was telling me, "Cole, we got this. Everything's going to
be fine." Well, I legitimately, I felt like it was, even after the muff punt, I was like, yeah, I think they've got this. They're playing too well. They're going to still win this game. It was until 28-28 that I was like, okay.
Yeah, well, look, you know, I just couldn't get that feeling out of the pit of my stomach of the experience in Fort Worth and thinking K-State once again looks like the better football team, but things are starting to fall into place for the Horned Frogs and are going to pull it out. You see it scrolling across the bottom. If you guys aren't subscribed to our KCSNU page or on our Apple and Spotify platforms, please do so. Like, subscribe, leave comments. We really appreciate that. Helps us if you guys can subscribe to our channel on KCSNU. So, yeah, it you know, we could go through some various numbers I put together, John, in the game. But, you know, one of the most telling things to me is K-State goes not three and out to start the game, but they get the ball to start after TCU deferred. And they only get one first down. They don't score. And that doesn't feel great. And then TCU right out of the gate connects on a 50-plus yard pass to Quentin Johnston when they're down at their own six-yard line and gets the TCU crowd roaring. They eventually score on 13 plays, get up 7-0. Then K-State goes three and out. And TCU's got a chance to get up two scores right out of the gate. K-State buckles down, holds them to a long field goal attempt of 54 yards. It misses, and then K-State eventually takes a 21-10 lead. But if you look at what that K-State defense did, John, after that first touchdown, let me find it right here. So in the first half, TCU had 7 drives. They scored 10 points. Well, I just said that they scored on their first drive of the game. So the next 6 drives, they only scored 3 points. Total in the game, TCU had 13 drives for 28 points. That's 2.15 points per drive. That is the second lowest for that TCU offense all season. That's non-con and Big 12 play included, only behind their 17-10 performance against Texas when the Longhorns held the Horned Frogs to 17 points. This was a TCU team that was averaging 3.2 points per drive on the season on offense, ranked 13th in the country. It even stretches into the second half, John. So they close out that first half just holding them to 3 points over the next 6 drives. The first 2 drives of the second half, TCU scoreless. You get a turnover. Yeah. You get the, you know, so
well,
you,
the safety you, was one of them, the safety, yeah, non-safety.
Right. You had 8 drives after that first touchdown. TCU on the next 8 drives scored 3 points. It's pretty incredible, folks. And, you know, if you look at it also at the end of that first half, their next 5 drives after that first touchdown, they ran 16 plays for 75 yards, just 4.7 yards per play. And I think one of the biggest storylines, John, TCU 2 of 15 on third downs in this game, 13%. That was the worst for TCU all season in any game. What did we talk about in Fort Worth? In case they can get off the field, TCU was 10 of 19 on third downs in the game at TCU. And I think actually, so they went 2 of 15 in the game, but if I went back and looked, weren't both their third down conversions like the first couple drives of the game? Because I remember I was upset.
It
felt like, now they did get a couple of very big fourth down conversions that were impactful, but 5 of 19 between third and fourth downs, really just an incredible feat for this K-State defense.
It was, and again, pretty battered and bruised, you know, by this point of the year to find a way to do that too. I mean, just thinking back to it, I kind of forget about the first 10 minutes or so of the game. It maybe 10 minutes of game time is a little bit too much there. The first like 3 or 4 drives, you know, it's 7-0. You wasted getting the ball first, didn't do anything. They score, they get the ball back and are driving. What was the first stem the tide kind of moment there to get the ball back? Was there a turnover there?
They missed the field goal.
Oh, they missed the field goal. That's right.
54-yarder.
Yeah, it turns into like a 54-yard field goal. Man, I did not sleep much last night. I am just on fumes right now. So my brain isn't really working really well.
And to be honest, like, we haven't really had a chance to fully digest this. Trevor, that's right. College football runs through Manhattan, Kansas, baby.
It sure does.
Yeah.
If you can tell, that's how you know that we're like gassed right now. It's like Cole doesn't even really have the energy to sell that thing right now.
I mean, look, it's something we'll have to go back and rewatch, and we'll do another more detailed, comprehensive show with Derek. You know, he's busy right now, as you see highlights rolling through if you're watching on YouTube of a heck of a throw and catch by RJ Garcia, redshirt freshman, his first touchdown catch of his career. Just another dude stepping up and making a big play. That's a heck of a catch and a heck of a play. And the stadium was going pretty nuts at that point. The atmosphere was incredible. I'm just looking at it.
How about like Will throwing that ball? Like, have it not only making the throw, period, but having the confidence to make the throw to RJ Garcia, like a guy who's not done much this year. And I mean, to be honest, like we heard a lot of great things about him, and I know he's battled some injuries throughout the year. We've heard that pretty consistently, but I think we like expected some more legitimate contributions from him throughout the year. But if you would have just told me, hey, he's going to give you a 25-yard touchdown pass and a 3-point overtime win in the Big 12 championship game, like, all right, freshman year well spent,
man. Yeah, that's well worth it. That's a difference-making type play from the biggest game of the season. So, yeah, RJ Garcia with a heck of a play there. Just different guys stepping up for Kansas State. DJ Giddens had a really nice drive at one point in the game where he had 4 or 5 consecutive runs and was churning out a couple different first downs. I think he ended up with 6 carries for 29, 30 yards, almost 5 yards per carry. K-State as a team ran the ball 44 times for 205 yards. That's the second most rushing yards that any team's had against that TCU defense all season. So, you know, the only game they gave up more was 232 against Baylor earlier in the year, just a couple weeks ago, actually. So, you know, while it didn't feel like you were getting a big burst play in the running game, they were churning and burning like 4 or 5 yards several times, you know, and then eventually, like I said earlier, Deuce didn't have a 10-yard-plus run in the game until – that 44-yard touchdown run, and you just knew he was going to eventually bust one, and he did, and that was a huge play. And, you know, the only other thing I'll say on the defense, you know, so Max Duggan, 50% completion percentage, 18 of 36 in the game. That is his worst completion percentage of the season in any game, and also his lowest passing rating of any game this season. So K-State playing without Echo Boydo, great corner. Look, you're seeing this goal line stand here, right here. Like, Eli Huggins, again, talk about it.
Well, so there, I mean, there's a great thing right there, right? Like Eli Huggins, it was not, I don't know that we thought he was going to come back last year. And Eli Huggins winds up coming back for, was this his 6th year in the program, 5th or 6th year? Comes back, uses the COVID year when he didn't have to, whether it was them having to convince him or it just happens. And he winds up being involved in Big 12 championship winning plays here coming down the stretch after, by the way, being snubbed on the all Big 12 team. But well, I mean, that's just like the example of this team and this culture. Like, that's a lot of places you're not going to have a guy like that stick around for an extra year. But I think he probably had a good idea of what this team had, what they were capable of, and wanted to be a part of it and wanted to play another year for Klieman. And he winds up making one of the biggest plays in the game.
Yeah, two guys, Daniel Green involved too in there, that, you know, two guys that decided to come back because they thought they had a really good team, potentially get to the Big 12 championship. Two guys that were at Big 12 media days in Arlington, and we asked him repeatedly, I'm going to get back here for this championship, and you got to feel great for those guys to be rewarded with this moment. You know, it's a lot of work to get here. You think about all the work that goes in the offseason conditioning strength program and then grind through the heat to 100-degree days and get through the season and all the bumps and bruises these guys play through, and to have that chance to get rewarded, just incredibly grateful and appreciative of all the work the coaching staff and these players have done to allow everybody to get to feel this moment. It's a special time to be a Kansas State fan right now.
Yeah, just like contributions from everybody, and you know, people that I think deserve recognition. Like Malik Knowles gets hurt, but he was great.
He's great.
Helped set up a touchdown drive with the 40-yard run that he had when he winds up getting hurt, which that was all. I just feel for him, man, because it didn't look that bad. He looked a little gimpy, and we saw him limping, but then he got in the injury tent, popped out, and was trying to jog on the sideline. So we didn't really think anything of it until we started seeing people on Twitter saying that Holly Rowe had reported that he was potentially done for the day and was like crying on the sideline. So feel for him, but he absolutely contributed in that game when they had to have something early on, when the offense was a little bit stagnant, like they kind of needed a jumpstart when he was able to do that. The other thing I would point out is Adrian Martinez. There was a great moment. I think it was Sully Ingles with KWCH who captured it on Twitter, but got a great moment with Adrian and Will after the game hugging, you know? And I mean, it's like Adrian saying like, hey, you deserve this, you know what, man. I mean, he kept saying that to him, and he's just like, for Adrian Martinez to do that after transferring here, thinking he was going to be the guy, getting hurt, kind of getting Wally pipped, you know? I mean, it was basically that situation this year. You get hurt, Will Howard comes in and balls. He goes and wins the Big 12 championship. For Adrian to still have that kind of attitude in that moment just speaks volumes to the kind of person that he is. And not only that, I got a chance really to watch him the last 2 weeks quite a bit on the sideline. In particular, the Kansas game, I was on row 2. So I was right behind the K-State bench, and I watched him a lot. And, I mean, he's as engaged as anybody on the sideline, pumping people up, talking to Will after drives and possessions. Just anything you could ask for, just like consummate professional, consummate teammate. And to do that after all he's been through in his career, to have that sort of attitude with the situation that unfolded this year, I just, please recognize him. I mean, there's a reason Kleiman was doing his post-game interview with Holly Rowe right down there on the field and gets asked about Will Howard, and he stops and says, let's talk about Adrian Martinez first. And, I mean, stand-up guy Kleiman to do that. But also just it's a fair point. Like, we all need to recognize Adrian, not only what he contributed to this team, but what he didn't do, because what he could have done is really driven a wedge through all of this and made it much more difficult to make the quarterback change and all that. But he didn't. He didn't. And he's smoking a cigar with everybody else after the game, winning a Big 12 championship because of it.
Just an incredible, likable dude, a great teammate. There's a reason he set foot on campus and was named a team captain. And you look at him at Nebraska, he was the first three-time team captain in Nebraska school history. You knew you were getting an incredible fit for the locker room, and it would have been easy to be bitter about losing your job due to an injury as a quarterback. And obviously right now he couldn't do anything about it as he's injured, but hopefully we'll be back for the Sugar Bowl. It sounds like he will probably
I was watching, he was doing Instagram Live, so he's on like an IG Live video, and someone in the comments was like asking about his injury, and he said, I'm straight, I'm not gonna miss the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah,
so sounds like he'll be all right.
Are you talking Adrian or Malik?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking Malik.
Well, I mean,
my brain's all. I was reading Malik on BJ.
No, I mean, sound like, and here actually, as you see a highlight if you're watching our YouTube page.
That's my fault. That is
That is a heck of a throw by Will Howard to Malik Knowles early on in the game, first quarter, when K-State needed a big play. And that's a 40-yard pass. Malik Knowles actually had two of K-State's explosive plays. He had a 40-yard run and a 40-yard pass in this game. That's how impactful he was, John. Yeah. And just the first quarter before that injury occurred. And, you know, that 40-yard run, he could have went out of bounds at about, you know, after 20 yards, but he cut it up, stiff-armed the guy, and dragged for an extra 20 yards for this team. So, Malik Knowles, it sounds like at least he's optimistic he'll be back for the Sugar Bowl. But also, you know, Adrian Martinez, I think, will be back for the Sugar Bowl. Not saying Adrian Martinez is going to start, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a package thrown in there, and I'm just happy for him to be able to dress in a uniform in a meaningful game like that, because to your point, it is fun to watch him on the sideline. He is a heck of a teammate, and he was down on the sideline today when things were getting a little tough, trying to encourage guys, pump guys up, going up and down the sideline. It just speaks volumes to this locker room that Kansas State's created, and we heard that all year. We heard it before the season. It's the tightest locker room, best culture that Kansas State's had,
They were not lying about that.
Jared, percent fans seem 60-40 favor TCU. I don't think so. Actually,
I would have said the other way. I've been saying I thought it was about 60-40 K-State.
Yeah, I thought it was more K-State.
Maybe like 55-45. I thought slight edge K-State.
Yeah. So it was a great crowd.
Unbelievable atmosphere. Yeah, like just a. Sorry, I don't mean to, but like, just such a cool atmosphere to be in there, man. I mean, that was it looked like 75% full.
Yeah, no, it was a great atmosphere. You know, there were rumors that ticket sales weren't going great, but I think you said best attended game since 2018. And anytime you get 70,000 fans like that for a conference title game, that's great. And yeah, there weren't a ton of empty seats, and it was very loud. You could feel the swings in there of emotion. It was a great atmosphere. The only other thing, you know, and actually here's the Deuce touchdown run on a 2nd and 5 play where this guy had no chance in space for TCU as he just takes a seat. Man, that place got loud then. And then K-State eventually holds him to a field goal after that, makes it 28-20, but couldn't put the game away completely. And unfortunately, TCU took it to overtime. But one thing we'll say about that, John, and we talked about this a little bit after the game, we talked about TV ratings going into that game and how it might be that the highest rated game outside of maybe the SEC going into the day, other fan bases, large prominent fan bases rooting for TCU to lose and maybe fall out of the playoff. The way the game transpired going to overtime, the TV ratings are going to be through the roof for this game. It's a great game. People were tuning in, a lot of eyeballs on Kansas State. And I saw someone else comment earlier about recruiting. Yes, this is going to be huge for recruiting for the next few weeks as they approach signing day. Hopefully K-State can flip a couple kids committed elsewhere. Hopefully they can land a couple of impact transfer guys as that heats up over the next couple of weeks. We talked about it a little bit on the live show heading into the TCU game on Friday night. There's just all sorts of benefits for the program. And I think you're going to see a pretty fun moment tonight here against Wichita State as the expect the football team to probably enter Bramlage Coliseum at some point, maybe at halftime, with that Big 12 championship trophy. What a moment that'll be. I hope that game's getting ready to tip off soon. I hope there's a good crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You just the next month is just going to be a blast. I mean, you're LSU getting stomped out in the SEC championship game basically means Bama, unless Bama somehow sneaks into the playoff. I mean, I hesitate to even say that better not happen. But if they don't, you're looking at Bama in the Sugar Bowl as the Big 12 champ after knocking off TCU and going into, yes, signing day. With a lot of high-profile kids, you're still kind of after, you know. I mean, we'll see what happens with Dylan Edwards or Josh Manning, if they're able to do anything there. But also transfers. And, yeah, we're in the midst of the most exciting recruiting period that we've ever seen for K-State football, pretty much. Yeah. Certainly in the era where it's covered the way that it is now. And so it's just – it's going to be a blast. It's going to be really fun. It is incredible publicity for the program. Flags fly forever. You're not going to have another one hanging up at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. And I can't say enough about the positive momentum that you're going to have rolling through there into the offseason.
And there's something about getting that 10th win, John, also, and getting that out of the way in the Big 12 championship, obviously a very important championship to claim, but now you kind of feel like you're going into that Sugar Bowl, just playing with house money a little bit, you know. Alabama, hopefully K-State can get some guys back healthy. They're pretty banged up right now. They got a few weeks to hopefully recover. But obviously I don't want to take the moral victory type approach. I want to win the game, and I'll feel anxious and nervous as that game gets closer. But right now it just kind of feels like you got that 10th win. You got a Big 12 championship. This season has already been a monstrous success. And now you're just kind of trying to put the cherry on top, get to that 11th win. And if you get to that 11th win, you're probably talking about the highest ranked finish in Kansas State football history in terms of the polls.
Yeah. We were, speaking of recruiting, Avery Johnson was at the game, by the way. I saw people taking pictures with him. That helps. It's just cool that he's been
he's that engaged.
So along for the ride, just like ready to go.
Yeah.
What did you mention right before that? I had something for that too.
What, TV ratings? Sugar Bowl, getting 11 win, finishing highest in the polls ever.
Oh, highest in the polls. That's what it was. So okay, because we were looking that up. The 97 season when they went 11-1, they won the Fiesta Bowl and they beat Donovan McNabb and Syracuse by like 17. They finished eighth.
That's shocking.
I think I want to say 95. Let me talk for a second. I'm going to look at 95 because I'm pretty sure actually 19.
Like seventh,
I think 95 wound up being the highest, which is weird because you don't think of that as being – that was not one of those 11-win seasons. But for some reason, that is sticking in my mind. They won
they won the Holiday Bowl Colorado against Colorado State. The Holiday Bowl. I don't know. It very well might have been.
They were seven.
Okay,
seven,
that's what I
95.
That's what I was thinking. So, I mean, you'd be talking about at worst. If you beat Alabama, you'd be finishing no worse than fifth at that point. And we'll see where K-State jumps tomorrow.
Probably. I mean, I think the chance is going to be there to be fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
Yeah. One other thing from the actual game, I thought this was interesting, John. So Quentin Johnson, Max Duggan threw for 251. Quentin Johnson had four catches, 139 yards. He was a monster. He had 35 yards a catch.
And probably, another two pass interference?
Yeah, he drew two PIs in addition to that. So you could really credit him with 170-plus yards. Some big plays. And Julius Brents, I mean, that's just a tough matchup. They were leaving Brents on an island a lot. Has Matt Campbell won 10 yet? Brett Byer, that's a great question. Actually, yeah, I think you know the answer to this. Iowa State's never won 10. So let's just I need to add to that Twitter collection that I had for Iowa State fans.
Well, I've got some bookmarks so I can go through at some point.
So Quentin Johnson has the 4 for 139, 35 yards a catch. The other 14 receptions combined for 112 yards, 8 yards a catch. No other receiver for TCU, tight end or receiver, reached 30 yards receiving in the game. And we talked about it wasn't just the Quentin Johnson show with this offense. They had three receivers in Tay Barber, Johnston, and Darius Davis that had combined for 360 catches and 5,300 yards in their career, all veteran guys. Tay Barber and Darius Davis did not hurt you today. Wiley at tight end had a couple of nice catches.
I mean, really, the only thing he did was a two-point conversion, right? I was about to say, like, Wiley, I didn't even – when he caught
early
the two-point conversion,
game,
I was like, where the hell has this guy been?
Well, he had the one sitting on his butt that he caught, and I think he had one other catch. But it wasn't – those guys were not difference makers. And Kendre Miller, a guy that killed you at TCU in the game in October, I never felt like he had – like he had – so he had one run over 20 yards in this game. It was a 21-yard run, a 14-yard run, and then I think a 15-yard run. He ended up with 82 yards. But I felt like K-State bottled up that running game for TCU somewhat well, even though the final numbers show 5.9 yards per carry with Max Duggan busting a couple of big runs. TCU actually had 7 explosive plays of 20 yards or more. So you would think they would have scored more than, you know, having their second worst points per drive. But turnovers ultimately proved to be one of the biggest storylines of the game. I mean, the Julius Brents interception in the end zone was a huge game-changing play because it's 21-17. They could go up. K-State calls a blitz. Austin Moore gets pressure on Duggan. He throws it up. Brents makes the interception. That's when K-State then went down and scored a touchdown and got up 28-17 and swung the momentum in the other direction. K-State forces 2 turnovers. That's a TCU team that had only turned the ball over 8 times all year. 2 turnovers and a turnover on downs in overtime.
Well, the other turnover was really big, too. I'm trying to remember what the score was.
It was a fumble. Point. Yeah, it was going into half. I think K-State was up 14-7, and Quentin Johnston fumbled the ball on a Julius Brents hit. It was the first play of that drive.
That was after an explosive. That was an explosive until that happened.
Yeah, they eventually ended up later getting a field goal still because where it did – she felt kind of uneasy going into half is because K-State had multiple times to get up 2 scores, and TCU was going to get the ball to start the second half. And K-State could not capitalize. The Cade Warner call was overturned. Ball hit the ground. You thought you were going to maybe go into halftime running the clock out and getting points, being up 2 scores. They didn't. That felt like a game-changing play, but eventually the defense just buckled down. And I mean, they just – that first drive of the second half, what was it at TCU? They went right down in Fort Worth in the October game, scored a touchdown, momentum swung. This time, K-State forces them into a – was it a 3-and-out right out of the gate? Of the second half?
Well, it was the safety that wasn't.
Yeah.
So
you pin them deep inside their own territory, which again, field position was a huge aspect in this game. We didn't touch on Ty Zentner. I mean, God,
you guys. No, Ty Zentner continues to be awesome, and he got the hero moment where he's like held up on the shoulders of everybody, which very much deserves for everything he's done throughout his career. And then, to cap it off with the game winning field goal there. You felt so much more comfortable with him once he really took over that job, and for him to be doing all 3 things, just awesome. And he got kind of snubbed with the Ray guy thing, not being a finalist there. So it was just, very, very happy for him, and a guy who just bleeds purple. He's the one that was kissing the Power Cat on the way off against Kansas, like just a cat through and through, man. So shout out to Ty Zentner for getting that done. Love seeing that. I'm trying to think. Let me go through my Twitter timeline real quick and see if there's any last little
while you're doing that,
note to the bar with here.
Yeah, while you're doing
that. I'm sure everybody does want to watch the basketball.
Yeah, everyone's going to get to the basketball game. While you're doing that real quick, John, I just want to thank Holiday Distillery, our friends, supporters, advertisers, 360 Vodka, Ben Holiday Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Had some of that. My dad actually told me that I had a Ben Holiday Bottled and Bond Bourbon sitting on my bar. They're watching the twin girls at home. In my house while we were at the game, he told me he poured himself a victory drink of Ben Holiday Bottled and Bond Bourbon and really liked it, actually. So get yourself a bottle of 360 Vodka or Ben Holiday Bottled and Bond Bourbon. We appreciate the support of Holiday Distillery, 360 Vodka. They're great K-State people, as you always say, John, and threw us a heck of a tailgate before the KU game. And also got a situation range at Member Jack's last night here in Arlington near the stadium where we did a live show at just want to give a shout out to everybody we met down there. Really enjoyed talking to so many of you and getting to actually meet with you face to face. I know we interact with so many of you on Twitter and hear from you in comments, but getting to meet a lot of you was a lot of fun, and hopefully we can catch up and meet more in person after that. So really appreciate all of you that came out for that. You got anything on Twitter?
I mean, I just think the only things that I'm looking back through, like, I mean, Corso picking K-State. With the headgear was great. I also love this is going to be like you're pretty deep into internet lingo and talk here, but K-State hit TCU with the same thing they've been doing after every single one of their wins with those goofy frog videos that they've been throwing out. I don't even totally understand that. I think this is more like the TikTok generation than it is me, but I still very much appreciate that. People pointed out, I mean, 2 years in a row, last year it was like down to the very end, like the inches for Oklahoma State where they get stopped, and then here, I mean, it's inches for Max Duggan with the play at the goal line in overtime where he gets stopped, and just how there is some bit of symmetry over the last 2 years in the Big 12 championship for that. I also just love, I mean, K-State first Big 12 champ in Brett Yormark's new Big 12 with kind of the new look league with how things are going. What is Iowa or I'm sorry is Michigan struggling right now?
7-7. Purdue's got the ball.
Oh, 7-7. Okay.
They got Purdue's got the ball in
Michigan territory. I was getting texts. I was seeing texts.
Boiler up. Boiler up. Playoff.
Yeah, Michigan should plummet.
I do enjoy how.
What's Michigan done this year?
Well, they beat Ohio State.
Where's Jed when I need him? Jed, what has Michigan done this year?
Nope. I think that's probably a wrap for this one. But okay. Like we said, we'll have another more comprehensive show with DYD. Wise is busy pulling together a lot of stuff for On Three KSN Online tonight.
Yeah, go sub right now. I'd say that's a pretty good time with signing day, just around the corner.
I encourage you to
just
go to
on the Big 12.
Yeah, encourage you to go to On Three. Pretty affordable deal. Go to On Three. Subscribe to KSNOnline.com. Derek Young, Drew Galloway, Grant Flanders. They do great work.
Also, I got to give a shout out to I don't even know that I got this lovely man's name, but I was out with my aunt and her husband getting some dinner after the game here, and a 3 Mile listener came up and shook my hand and was very nice, and then we're getting ready to leave, and he bought us dinner. He bought us dinner. So thank you very, very much for that. You guys are awesome.
Bought John dinner. John continues to get all the perks. He gets the free seats on the 50-yard line all the time. Now he's getting dinner bought for him. You know, John rides down passenger seat as I drive through the stressful Dallas traffic. You know, he's the talent here. He just shows up and puts on the show. And,
in fairness, you offered to drive. I mean, I didn't even
know. No, actually,
really
I was totally fine.
The Dallas traffic, the DFW traffic did suck.
Yeah. Well,
especially when it's like 11 o'clock at night. You're just trying to get back on the front road to your hotel.
Yeah, nice 20-minute traffic jam at 11:30 at night last night. Anyways, I digress.
Won't miss you, DFW. You know what else? I hope none of those frogs on their way home left their phone hypnotoed them. You know, all those damn banners that we saw from like the Texas Department of Highway or whatever. Let's say, oh, don't let your phone hypnotize. Here's your mark. This is my one beef. The Jumbotron shots throughout that game, especially late. It was like 90% TCU and it was like 90% hypnotoad stuff, which was making their crowd go nuts. So it was like, I was like, come on, man, like at least make this 50-50. It was all hypnotoad there. It was just getting barraged by it. I was,
It seemed like there was a clear intent to try and get the TCU fans revved up and going and hyped up, because that fourth quarter, that's what it was. The Jumbotron was all focused on TCU. TCU was somehow allowed to bring their stupid horn machine.
I hate that thing.
And it's on K-State's side and ridiculous. I hate that thing.
I've hated it for a long time, because back when I was covering the team on a regular basis and I would film on the sideline, I'd be like standing in the end zone and you'd forget about the thing and TC would score a touchdown and then you just get blasted by it. I mean, it would just blow up your eardrum from behind because you had no idea that it was there. So I've hated it for a long time. I've been an old school TCU horn thing hater, whatever exactly that is. Not a fan. I saw Neil popping in saying, I've got a drink named after me. It's so long. Are we just talking about the curtsy, the Boulevard Wheat with pineapple?
You're such a celebrity, man.
I don't think I really have a drink name, but that's just one that I made up. Actually, someone shouted out KSU_fan, which, yes, shout out to him as well. For helping us out last night and just generally being awesome and a good follow. He's the one I think that really coined that, because when we used to, it was when KSO was doing something, but he would hang out with us and I would always get the Boulevard Wheat with pineapple juice. So we started calling it a curtsy. Anyway. All right. We're rambling. Let's try and go watch some hoops. We'll get ourselves collected. Hopefully after some sleep, we'll have a show for you on Monday with DY that'll be a little more comprehensive. So thank you. Appreciate BJ Kissel for getting us on tonight. Thank you for everybody who hung out with us. Thank you for everybody who came by. We sincerely appreciate you all. The Cats are Big 12 champs, baby. We'll talk to you soon.